Guantanamo.
Welcome to the Word of a King podcast. It's where culture clashes with our calling, where preaching is more important than popularity, where we rightly divide and properly apply the scriptures, where we put to rest common and controversial issues. We do this by looking to the Word of a King.
The key to understand the Word of God is for the author to show you what the thing says. If you understand that book, you get for the author. Then he opened their understanding.
Amen. We're glad you're here. Welcome to the Word of a King podcast. We got an exciting episode. We're going to talk about Bible numerology, and we're going to show you some amazing truths from the Word of God concerning numbers and how God uses numbers. And of course, the God of the Bible is the God of history. Amen. He's the God of mercy and long-suffering and holiness, but he's also the God of numbers. And we're going to, for the next hour, show you some amazing truths from the Word of God. And as you can see, we have a guest host. This is Brother Roman Johnson. Roman, why don't you take the next however long you want. No more than 60 seconds. No, whatever. Tell us about yourself.
Well, my name is Roman Johnson. I'm a second-year student at LBI. I love LBI. I'm a church member at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Love listening to the Word of a King podcast. I'm glad to be on here. And it's good to be saved. It's good to get in the book. And you know, God's book is very deep. The King James Bible, you can never get to the end of it. It's just, amen, God's got so many things you can study in there. Never stop studying the King James Bible. Never stop loving the Word of God. And the whole point of this podcast is to help people, you know, have their faith in the Word of God grow and just to love the Word more. So that's a little bit about me. I love the Word of God. I love the Lord. And I'm glad I'm on here.
Amen. We should trade seats. You do a very good job of talking about the Word of a King and what our goal should be.
Amen.
I have to ask you. I didn't prepare you for this. How many souls have you led to the Lord this summer or in just this year?
I have in the front of my Bible, I think, but it's like almost like around 15.
Wow, amen.
Yeah. And last week or a couple weeks ago, we had about, I like to lead about, I think if you go a month and a half back, of seven children to the Lord. And two of them walked up to me. We were street preaching, and two kids walked up to me, and they were walking around us for about an hour while we were preaching. He walked up to me and said, "Sir, how do I get saved by Jesus?" I'm like, "I'm glad you asked." I didn't even say anything other than, "I'm glad you asked." And I opened this Acts 16:31, and I read it to them, and they wanted to get saved, and they held a sign there. Just two, like probably 12 and 9 years old.
That's amazing.
So praise the Lord. That's what, yeah, street preaching works. But that's not what this is about, but it works.
How many people have you led to the Lord while you were street preaching in the last year or two?
Oh, man. Almost everybody. Like, I think
I was
all 15.
Say, probably all of them.
Wow. Except for a couple during door knocking. But yeah, almost, you know, you have to go out, as a good friend of mine says, you got to go out with a purpose to witness, to win somebody to the Lord, and that's when God will give you, you know, the souls. If you just, I mean, it's good to hand out tracts as you're going, but have a purpose, go out to you know, get people the gospel, and that's what, during street preaching and during door knocking, that's when I've had the chances God's given me to lead souls to Christ.
You said what I was going to say, that street preaching still works.
Oh, yeah.
And people say, well, there's no results. It's not the way to build a church, which that may be. If there were zero results for 2,000 years, you still do it because God told you to do it.
Amen.
Jesus did it. Jeremiah did it. Ezekiel did it. Amos did it. Peter, Paul. I can go on and on. It's a biblical method, but it does work. Obviously, you're preaching the gospel to people, so they hear it. We don't know what God is going to do with it. But Brother Roman here, it's just the Lord. Obviously, everything's the Lord, but I've led zero people in the last 10 years to the Lord street preaching. And I would guess I probably street preach more than you. It's like the Lord is sending people your way because he knows you're nicer than me. And he's just going to give you some fruit. But yeah, Brother Roman's a blessing. He knows the book. He loves the Lord. What are you, 18?
18.
18 years old, and he just has tons of zeal. So don't let that discourage you.
Perfect example of let no man despise thy youth.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
He's a perfect example. If you stick to the book and preach it, of course, we have a great pastor, Pastor
Amen.
Chad, and we preach the book, and we don't compromise,
Amen.
And we're not worldly, and we don't have this fancy music and light
Amen.
Shows, and we still have teens.
Yeah.
And Roman's one of several teens,
yeah.
I don't even know, 5, 6, 7, 8 teens in our church. It's not a huge church, who is on fire for the Lord. So good to have you here, Brother Roman. And then we got Micaiah Dell. You guys met him the last podcast. So what do you got to say?
I'm the one who runs all the laser light shows and the smoke machines.
No. Blame him.
Yeah. No, I'm just excited to be here, get into some truths in the Word of God. And just love being at church at Lighthouse Baptist Church. No regrets coming here. Glad we came.
Amen.
Great pastor, great people, great church. And I'm excited for LBI. Man, it's coming up quick.
Yeah.
And I feel like we just finished the last semester and we're about to start up again. So it's a couple more weeks out. I believe the 22nd, right?
Yes.
Tuesday the 22nd, we're starting up. I'll be teaching John, the Gospel of John, and music in the ministry. Really excited about John. That I'm not excited about music in the ministry, but it's John. Like I said the other day, everybody loves John.
Amen.
Everybody loves John.
That's true.
Brother Micaiah, what do you think is, you got any thoughts on the topic we're going to cover and what you found just in general as far as numbers and the phenomena in the Bible, how the same numbers keep showing up with certain themes?
I would say that this is one of those truths in the Word of God that shows architecture, and it's even a lot of the numerology above my pay grade. It would be along the lines of shutting the mouths of fools.
Yeah.
Stephen Hawking, considered one of the greatest minds of our time, and he's obviously outspoken atheist. God's not real, all this stuff. But I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Stephen Hawking's background, his focus, his speciality was math, if I recall correctly. And a mathematician with a mind like his should be able to see the architecture in the Word of God and the galaxy and the universe all around him, but yet he still rejected God.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just one of those things, at least in my mind, that lends itself to dealing with those people that are a little too caught up in there.
Amen. Amen. Well, you mentioned LBI, and like he said, it starts Tuesday, August 22nd. So if any of you are interested and you haven't signed up yet, you must register by this coming Tuesday, the 15th. And by the way, you don't have to take all 7-8 classes. You can just take one class or two or three. You can just audit. You don't have to take it for a test. You can audit and just show up half the time, show up late, watch on Zoom, don't watch on Zoom. Like, it's kind of up to you. It's $30 a class, a whopping $30. You could take all the classes for 30 times 8, $240. So, amen.
Make sure you take John.
Yes, take John. He's teaching John.
And I'm not that I'm just trying to get everybody to come to LBI, but I mean, as far as pricing goes, it's very reasonable. That's
true.
Definitely cheaper than what I paid for each semester at Bible school. So it's,
I would say,
we're not here to make money. But.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I just said I was a second year LBI student. I love it. LBI is a great blessing to me. And I'll say this, my Bible knowledge has, ever since coming to Lighthouse, probably tripled, but LBI had a huge part in that. Before we became a full institute, it had, we had a few classes on Wednesdays, and it's just the Word of God and the teaching that goes on LBI, it's all Bible. I've been in it, and it's just great. I would definitely provoke those out there that maybe want to learn the Word of God. LBI, definitely pray about it. It's great. I enjoy it.
Amen. And it's not an LBI podcast, but it reminded me of a story. Brother Derek told me yesterday at church that he was watching. We have summer classes. Well, the summer classes are on demand. You can take them anytime. I do James, 1st, 2nd Peter, and then I did 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John, Jude. And he said he was watching James, and I went in the introduction. I was showing chapter 1, verse 1 is the key to the book of James, how it was written to the 12 tribes of Israel. And I was showing him from James chapter 5 how there's so many connections and key words that tie it to the tribulation.
Yeah.
It's written to Jews in the tribulation. Doctrinally, that's going to apply, but we're not hypers. Practically,
right.
A lot of great truths.
Amen.
Yeah.
But Derek told me, it might have been at the Allen Park.
Yep, it was.
Was it? With that guy who was the Church of Christ?
Yep.
Okay. He was witnessing to a guy. He was an older guy, and he starts quoting him some verses on James, trying to teach work salvation. And Brother Derek told me, he goes, Brother Brian, I learned something from your class. I was able to do it. He said, I had the guy turn to chapter 1, verse 1, and it said, and I asked him, who was it written to? And he said, the 12 tribes of Israel. And Derek asked the guy, are you one of the 12 tribes of Israel? And he said, no. So I kind of shut the guy up. And
amen.
So anyway, well, we're going to go ahead and get on the numbers. Before we get started, I'm going to read this. This is the origination of the chapter and verse markings. Of course, from what everybody on earth says, pro and not pro King James, they all say the originals did not have chapter and verse markings. Nobody's seen the originals. I assume that's true. The oldest and best manuscripts, or even pretty much all the Greek manuscripts they find, do not have chapter and verse markings. But the King James obviously does. So where did they come from? Just one couple paragraphs here. The chapter divisions commonly used today were developed by Stephen Langton, an Archbishop of Canterbury. Langton put the modern chapter divisions into place around 1227 AD. The Wycliffe English Bible of 1382 was the first Bible to use this chapter pattern. Since the Wycliffe Bible, nearly all Bible translations have followed Langton's chapter division. The Hebrew Old Testament was divided into verses by a Jewish rabbi by the name of Nathan in AD 1448. Robert, never knew how to pronounce his name, Estienne, who was also known as Stephanus, he wrote one of the Greek texts that the King James translators used, was the first to divide the New Testament into standard number verses in 1555. So that's the history, that's the origination of it. And that's one of the many, many, many reasons why the King James Bible is superior to the Greek.
Amen.
And why the King James Bible is superior to the originals. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the originals don't exist. The King James does exist. We have three of them right here.
Right.
But if you had the originals, you don't speak Greek. If you had the originals or a Greek manuscript, the uncials, which is what they call the older manuscripts, it's all block capital letters. And if you had the book of Matthew, it would just be one, not sentence, one word. The whole book of Matthew would just be one word, all capital Greek letters. It's not divided in words. It's not divided in verse. It's not divided in chapter. So I would say the King James is superior.
Yeah, amen.
In that way, at least. But we're going to go ahead and get on it. We can't cover all the numbers. So we're going to start with number five. Number five. And we'll start with Micaiah. What can you summarize about the number five in the Bible?
It's a good number. I'm one of five siblings.
Makes sense.
But I'm actually number four, so.
There you go.
So I'm
you're worldly.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not covering four, but.
Yeah, I'm an oxymoron. I'm worldly, but my name means who is like the Lord. So it's like, you know.
That's good.
One part
that's
of me is pulling me that.
He checkmated. Well, me. My name's Brian. That's Irish or something.
Number five in numerology causes some, I don't want to say arguments, but a little bit of discourse. I'll just put it that way. Some people argue that the number means grace. A lot of people. And there's some evidence to make that argument, but if you look at the Bible as a whole, and you could even get a little bit of a dispensational nugget there, the number five seems to take on death.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's what I found.
Yeah.
You got any proofs? You got any verses? What do you got?
Well, since we, you know, like the rule of first mention, mm-hmm. I don't want to call it a law in case somebody has a problem with that, but it was a story I heard one time. Genesis chapter 5, verse 5.
Is about grace?
One might think. But no, in Genesis 5:5, we find the first occurrence of a natural death in your King James Bible.
That's good.
And if that doesn't do it for you, fast forward to the New Testament, and in Acts 5:5, we have the first supernatural death.
That's good.
Ananias and Sapphira are getting some ideas. They're watching Brother Barnabas there sell his land, and they get an idea, and they think they're going to be cool like that and sell their land, and they.
Did they get grace?
Yeah, nope. Nope. For those who are unfamiliar with the story, they get caught in their lie, and God kills them.
Mm.
They die, which, a little nugget for you there, in Acts 5, Peter speaking to them, says that they lied to the Holy Ghost, and then a couple of verses later, he says they lied to God.
Amen.
That's good.
Separate thing. Do you think that you think they were saved?
Ooh. It's possible.
I assume they are.
I would say I would lean towards yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I would thought so.
I mean, just like us today, we can be saved as can be, but
yeah, God kills people
worldly.
Today.
Yeah, exactly.
He kills Christians today, 1 Corinthians 5. And yep.
Your number's up, as they say.
Number's up. Brother Roman, talk about five. What do you got for us?
Well, number five. Well, if you look at the fifth person to speak in the Bible, his name is Cain. And he is also the first murderer. He speaks 65 words recorded, which is 13 times 5.
I didn't know this. That's
so you talk about the number 5. I think it's clear, but Brother Micaiah's and my example, the number 5 obviously represents death. There's many other cases in which the Bible represents number 5 as that way. But that's what I have for you is Cain is the fifth person to speak. He's the first murderer. He speaks 65 words, which is 13 times 5. Brian?
Amen. I got a bunch of them. He mentioned Genesis 5. What else is unique about Genesis 5 or as far as death goes?
Oh, it's so depressing. Every few verses, I think it's like every three verses, it's, and he died, and he died, and he died. And you know,
that's right.
It's just a whole mortuary chapter.
It's a death chapter.
Yeah.
And that would be, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen.
Romans chapter 5 compares Adam to Jesus Christ. 5, death. And it's showing you, if you're in Adam, if you're in the book of the generation, occurs 2 times in the Bible. It occurs in Genesis 5. You're in that line. You're in Adam's line. That's why ye must be born again. You need to get in a different book. If you're in Adam's line, you die, Genesis 5.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Christ's line, you live forever. And there's a book of the generation mentioned in, was it Matthew?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Matthew.
Matthew 1, I believe.
So you want to be in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never see death. And whosoever death, I forgot the verse for some reason.
<It's> okay.
But if you're dead, obviously you're gonna rise with Jesus Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Amen.
I'll just give a couple here before we move on. Satan occurs 55 times in the Bible. That word, Satan. In Isaiah 14, how many times does Satan say, I will?
Five times.
A lot of times with, I meant to look it up and I forgot. I don't know if it's Asahel or Abner. Some of those guys, they were killed under which rib?
Fifth rib.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then last one on this, Satan, death, and the devil all have 5 letters.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Any other thoughts on 5 before we move on?
Well, on the opposite of that, Jesus has 5 letters.
Hmm. So maybe he represents the grace?
Yeah, if somebody wants to argue grace side of it.
Okay.
Yeah, some people say 5 is grace because one time in the history of the world, somebody's death was connected with grace, but that doesn't overthrow all the other things.
Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar.
There you go.
He's killed. And what I noticed while looking all this up, do you know how many adjectives, if I'm grammatically correct in saying that, are used to describe the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3?
Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked.
5.
Yes, those are adjectives. I had to think about it.
So they're at the end of it. You know, it's dead.
Anything else on 5, Roman?
That's all I got.
Number 6. Number 6 is man.
Yeah.
This one is very easy. Some of these are a little stretchy. I tried to go with the ones that are very clear and there's not much doubt about. And 6 is one of those. It's very clear. There's not much doubt about it.
Amen.
Brother Roman, we'll start with you. What do you got on number 6?
Number 6. Well, if you look at the 6th book of the Bible, it's Joshua, which is the first book in the Bible named after a man.
Mm-hmm.
It has 6 letters in it.
Mm-hmm.
The 6th word is Moses, who's a man. So that's, I mean, that right off the bat, you get that. Then I have a little bit more here. In Genesis 6, the word man appears 6 times.
Wow.
In the word mankind in the whole Bible appears 6 times.
Hmm.
And
you did your research. I haven't heard of most of these.
Yeah. And the word evil is 613 times. There are 6 times in the 6th book of the New Testament, which is Romans. I don't want to take all of them because they probably have some on Romans. But if you look at it,
all my
in the book of Romans, 6 times the word man is the 6th word in the verse. So the word man, the number 6 represents man. 6 times.
All right. Well, he mentioned Joshua, so I'll mention Romans.
There you go.
It's the sixth book in the New Testament. Contains the word man. It is six letters.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the sixth chapter, in the sixth verse, the sixth word is man. And, I mean, let's not forget man was created on the sixth day.
Yeah. There you go.
Amen. I've scratched off
Brother
most
Brian
of mine.
Scratched them all out.
I'd say the average man is 6 feet,
yep.
Not
yep.
5 feet, closer to six right. feet. When they bury you, they put you 6 feet under.
Mm-hmm.
The first church split in the Bible, as they say. Anybody know where that occurs? No.
It's an Acts.
John 6:6:6.
Oh, that one.
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking Paul and John Mark.
Yeah. We'll just pretend that we're briders for this podcast. We're not briders, but briders think the church started with John the Baptist. I'll give you one more. The first Apple computer.
Oh, boy.
Sold for $666.66.
Oh, of course it did. There goes my iPhone.
He gone. All right. Any other thoughts on six before we go to seven?
God lets man rule the earth for 6,000 years. Then on the seventh, God comes in, takes over. So man gets it for six.
Amen.
There were six cities of refuge that a man could go to.
Six cities of refuge.
For killing a man.
It's good.
And
can you name them all?
No.
I couldn't either. All right, number seven. We're moving right along here.
Yeah.
I figured we'd get like two of them done, and I'd have 5 minutes left.
It's okay. We can circle back to, if we need to.
Nah, we won't need to. There's a bunch of them. All right, number seven. Brother Roman, what do you got to say about seven?
I got a whole lot to say.
What would you describe seven as?
Well, seven represents perfection or completion, and it's really God's favorite number. There's tons of sevens, and they represent the Lord a lot of times in the Scripture. I have quite a few things to say, but first, a few things I found on my own was the phrase in the King James Bible, every word appears seven times, and the phrase books in the King James Bible appears seven times.
Yeah. I'm glad I had you on, brother. You got some good stuff. Not that you don't, but amen.
So you put that together. You have, in your King James Bible, you have every book seven times. You have books, the word books seven times. Every word. You have every word of the books in this King James Bible seven times each. But also, you want me to go into that video I watched?
No,
a lot
that'll be 1611. 1611?
Okay.
That's a different number.
So that's what I have to say about the sevens in the Scripture.
By the way, you mentioned King James. I didn't have this in my notes. This phenomenon will only occur in a King James Bible.
Absolutely.
Yeah, amen.
Now, some of them will be in the other Bibles, but like seven times this and all that kind of stuff is only going to be in a King James Bible. Mm-hmm. It's only going to be in English. It won't be in the Greek and the
so
Dead Sea Scrolls.
When you remove verses.
And yep, yep.
You remove right. the fingerprint of God all throughout your Bible.
Amen. Right. If this is the word of God, you don't add to it. Proverbs 30, verse 5, add thou not into his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar, and you're not to take away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, go ahead and mess with it.
Yeah. Brother Brian, on top of that, I did look, like with the sevens there, I did look at some of the other Bibles, and like I think it only like one or two of them had every word seven times. The rest of them, it was like five.
At least they're honest.
Yeah.
He won't find every word in there.
No,
so.
He won't. Yeah.
All right, Micaiah, what do you got?
Well, if seven's the number of completion, it would make sense why on the seventh day God rested.
Yeah.
It would make sense why the 7,000th year, as I mentioned a few minutes ago,
yep.
wraps up all of this, if you want to call it natural history, before we get into eternity.
You got a verse on that as far as one day and representing Genesis 6-7 days of creation versus the 1,000-year thing?
You talking Brother Peter?
Yes.
1,000 years?
Yeah,
one day and one day is 1,000 years?
Amen. 2 Peter 3. Something.
We got, even just practically in the world, 7 days in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Seven, if this is the right way to say it, seven keys in an octave. You know, so you've a complete octave there.
I have that.
I like that. That's good.
How many keys are in a piano? Or how many notes are on a piano?
And a full keyboard, 88.
Okay. How many notes are on it?
I don't know.
Seven.
Ah, seven, yeah.
Seven.
Because it's all half notes.
It's do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. We already did do. There's only seven notes. And then the black keys are half notes. So there's every piece of music ever created had seven notes. But go on.
Well, you got Revelation, chucked full of sins.
Man, I wrote them all down. I think there are 19 of them or something.
Right? Why? Because you're completing it. It's the end. Mm-hmm. It's all wrapping up. Acts chapter 7 completes Israel's rejection of Jesus Christ.
That's good.
Christ, but God. They rejected God the Father, God the Son, and then in Acts chapter 7, God the Holy Ghost. And even just on a practical little, you know, verse nugget, back in Genesis chapter 5, we get in verse 31, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years. And that completes that portion of the narrative, and in chapter 6, we meet Noah.
Wow. Amen. That's weird, because I always notice the 777, but I never put that into it. So that's good. I always think slot machines when I see Lamech.
I do have a few more things to say.
Yeah, go ahead. Because I got a bunch, so I want you guys to use it all you got.
So if you look at the New Testament, and I'll be honest, I did not get this myself, but from a very, very cool video on YouTube. If you look at the New Testament, if you do the odd books and the odd books are much larger than the even books. And you'll look at the words that they match up, how many times they're like each word is written in each book. They don't, you know, match up most of the time because the odd ones are a lot larger. But the word Jesus shows up 490 times in both the odd and the even books in the New Testament. 490 times. How many times is that times 7?
70.
70 times 7. And if you look at the word Jesus shows up in the first 8 books 777 times in the New Testament. The word Jesus Christ in the first 7 books is 77 times. So don't you think the Lord likes the number 7?
See, you still got to convince me.
Well, that's not all. That's not all. All forms of Jesus plus Christ, and it adds up to 777 plus 777. Need more? I got one more.
Hit me.
Moses plus Jesus plus Christ in the New Testament is 7 times 7 times 7 times 7. If I said that 4 times... That's what it is. 7 times 7 times... That's how many times they... I think God likes the number 7. And Moses, one of the favorite guys in the Old Testament there. But in the New Testament, that's how many times Jesus and Christ and Moses shows up. So what a book, man. God's got his fingerprints all over this thing.
Amen.
Anything else, Micah?
All I had left that I forgot to say was 7 church ages. Seven church ages, and that completes the church age.
Amen. That's good. Good.
That's good.
Chapter 4, verse 1, what happened in Revelation?
A door is open.
Come up hither. What's that picture?
What? Wait, there's a rapture?
It was halfway through the trib, right?
Oh, yeah, we're totally. You
know. That would end the church age, right?
That would complete.
So 7 of them completes it.
Yep.
Amen.
How many churches did John write to in Revelation?
7.
7. How many did Paul write to?
7, actually, right?
6. No, 7.
Yeah.
They both wrote the 7 churches.
Amen.
How many covenants are there in the Bible?
7.
7. The church is not a covenant. That's a separate issue. How many? There are 7 raptures, 7 feasts of Israel. I looked it up on like 4 different websites to confirm. And
yeah, because some of them go by multiple names.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7 baptisms, 7 temples.
Man.
You mentioned that 70 times 7. Oh, by the way, you mentioned 7 4 times 7 4 times.
Yeah.
I found something in Leviticus. I think it's 25. Leviticus, it's the one that matches Deuteronomy 28. It gives the whole history of Israel and what God's going to do to them. He says 7 times 4 times. So 7 times 7 times 7 times 7, or 7 to the 4th power, is 2,401. Now, I don't know the significance of this, but Israel became a nation in 1948. You take 2401 minus 1948, you get 453 BC. That is when Daniel's 70th week started.
Wow.
Because 483 years, right? There's 7 left, Daniel's 70th week. 483 years passed.
Right.
When Jesus Christ was baptized at 30 years old. Wow. 483 minus 453 is 30 AD. So 2401 from 453, which is a very significant date in your Bible.
Yeah.
Add 2,401, and you got the Jews become a nation in 1948. Now, I don't know.
Did you just get that?
No. I've found that before.
Okay, well, that is wow.
Yeah,
well,
I already that triggered.
You brought up Daniel's 70th week. That's 7 years left in John. the Lord's talking to the disciples, and he says, a little while, that phrase, seven times to them in that passage,
yep.
One for each year of the tribulation period. After 7 years, it's complete.
That's cool.
Also, the 70 times 7, that's Daniel 9. They were in captivity 70 years, that's separate from Daniel 70 weeks. How many times did Peter asked the Lord, how many times forgive my brother? What did Jesus tell Peter?
Till 70 times 7?
Right. Do you think he just picked that number, or do you think there was a reason?
I think there was a reason.
Now, I've said this before in the pulpit or LBI or both. Do you remember, do you know why he said 70 times 7?
I mean, 490, maybe. Oh, maybe because that's the years in Daniel, how they add up to
it? I don't think so, but it might be connected, but I think there's a greater truth there.
What is it?
Nobody knows.
You know, Mike?
They were in captivity 70 years. You remember when I showed you that? Why were they in captivity 70 years? There was an exact reason. They didn't let the land rest.
Yeah.
For how many years?
For 70. Or they, wasn't it for like, 70 times 7.
Exactly.
7 years. Wow, so 490 years.
Do you know when Nebuchadnezzar took him into captivity? The first initial captivity. Very famous date. Hear it all the time.
606?
606.
Yeah, okay.
Add 490 to 606. What do you get? Come on.
Add 490 to it?
Yeah.
I mean, like, to like the overall number?
It's 1096.
Okay.
You know what happened in 1096?
What happened in 1096?
Saul was king. From 1096 to 606, that's 490 years, Israel stopped letting the land rest for 7 years. That's another one of the seven.
Mm-hmm.
They would have 7 years, and then, 6 years, and the seventh year, they let the land rest. There was a Sabbath of rest for the land. They weren't to plant any crops. And God said, if you do that, I'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about it. You'll have plenty of food. The Jews stopped doing that. Remember Samuel warned them,
mm-hmm.
If you have a king, God's like, go ahead. They haven't rejected you, they've rejected me, mm-hmm. but protest unto them and let them know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He said they're going to take your daughters or bakers, and they're going to take the finest of you, and he's going to tax you to death. Samuel, God's man, warned them about big government, and he said what's going to happen. So what did Saul do? From the days of Saul to 606, the Jews quit letting the land rest, and that's in 2 Chronicles 36, I didn't write the verse, but God tells you, I'm going to take you in captivity 70 years because you disobeyed the Sabbath. 70 times 7 is 490. That's how many years they disobeyed God. So they owed God 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, all right, I'm going to take you in. And it says in 2 Chronicles 36, so I can let the land rest. So God got us 70 years back.
Yep.
God's got a number, people.
Yeah.
And God is a very good accountant. And God knows what's going on. And he keeps track of everything.
Yeah.
So that's the...
I like that.
All right, I have a few more sevens I'll add here. Enoch was the seventh. The Word, capital W-O-R-D, in the beginning was the Word. That occurs seven times. How many times do you think the word Jehovah occurs in the King James?
If I'm remembering right, 77.
Seven.
Oh, okay.
Seven.
Seven times.
One. Yeah, there's Jehovah four times, and Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nissi, and Jehovah Jireh. Seven times Jehovah occurs,
wow.
And seven times Word, Jesus, occurs. Coincidence, of course.
That's good. That's
These
good.
Are not coincidences.
Jehovah's seven letters.
There you go.
H-O-V-A.
Didn't trust
you.
David is called
the 77, so I don't blame
you.
David is called the seventh. Esther joins the king in the seventh year.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I got on sevens.
Man, God likes
seven. Are we complete on seven?
I think we've completed it.
Is it perfect?
Well, since we're doing it, no.
All right, I'll just mention eight. If you guys want to say anything on that. Now, God made the earth in 6 days. He rested the seventh. Brother Micaiah mentioned 1 day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years as 1 day. So there's 6,000 years of human history from the garden, or maybe from the fall. And then God... The Sabbath is compared to rest. The, mm-hmm. the millennium is compared to rest. Hebrews mm-hmm. chapter 3 talks
yep.
about entering into that rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so the seventh would be 1,000 years. And we know from Revelation 20, it is 1,000 years. And that's the rest. That's your Sabbath. But then what is eight in the Bible, Micaiah?
A new beginning.
Something new.
Hmm.
What happens after that 1,000-year millennium?
We get a new heaven, new earth. We start over.
Amen.
There you go.
Eight is something new. Got anything on eight?
Yeah, I'll say something quick. Want me to go a little longer or something quick?
Quick.
Yeah. So if you go to Hebrews chapter 8, I'll go there really quick. Hebrews chapter 8, you have, what does Hebrews chapter 8 talk about, Brother Brian?
The new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah?
Yeah, the new covenant.
8-8?
Chapter 8, verse 8, the first, chapter 8, verse 8, which also, chapter 8, verse 8 is the first mention in the New Testament of a new covenant. And it is Hebrews 8:8, and the word covenant, I believe, has eight letters. So there you go, you got it.
I confirmed it.
So that's what my quick, right there, Hebrews 8, it's a new covenant, it's chapter 8, God puts it He cares about his word, and he's going to put it in places that he wants it to be. He placed the new covenant in chapter 8. I mean, Hebrews, he could have done it anywhere he wanted, but chapter 8, verse 8, and it's the first mention of the new covenant in the New Testament. There's one in the Old Testament, but the New Testament, new covenant, it's the first time in Hebrews 8:8.
Amen. You don't have any other quick hitters on 8?
Take too long? Well, yeah, really quick. Well, there's eight types or eight things that entered the ark. I have them right here. There's you have Noah, his sons, his sons' wives, his wife, Noah's wife himself, clean beasts, unclean beasts, foul and creeping things. Eight different things there that enter the ark to start over. Mm-hmm. It's a new time, definitely, at that point. But there you go. That's what I got really quick.
Amen. What you got, Micaiah?
Well, some of them are kind of practical, worldly thing, not as in the universe around us, not just to show you God's fingerprint in his word, but God's fingerprint in the world around you. Like I already mentioned, we got 7 days completes a week. Mm-hmm. The eighth day, new week, starting over. You know, the eighth key when you're going up a piano keyboard is a new octave. And, you know, just to give you a little spiritual, scriptural thing in there, we got Acts chapter 8. I already mentioned in chapter 7 completes the rejection of God. But in Acts chapter 8, we see Saul, or you might know him as Paul, come on the scene, because we're starting a new chapter, if you'd like to put it that way.
Amen. I do like to put it that way. Amen. Anything else on 8 before we go to 9? I don't have much on 8. I didn't write anything down for 8.
The first Gentile gets saved in Acts 8. It's the first time. Acts 8, I think 37, 36, whatever it was.
Ethiopian eunuch.
Yep.
Amen.
There you go.
All right, number 9, I'll go ahead and spoil it. 9, it would be fruit.
What?
Hopefully you guys came to the same conclusion. We don't prepare for this. It's more spontaneous. It's more natural, I hope. All right, so, Brother Micaiah, what do you got on 9?
Well, the most obvious evidence, if somebody just wants the best chapter to say, why do we say that 9 is the number of fruit or fruitfulness? Galatians chapter 5 lists the fruits of the Spirit, and guess how many there are?
Is there 9? 9?
8.
Oh.
No, there's 9.
Wow.
What are 9 fruits of the Spirit.
I like it.
How many letters in Galatians?
9.
9 letters.
That's what number book in the New Testament?
The 9th?
Use your fingers. Yeah, that's the 9th.
And it's the Spirit's... The fruits of the Spirit are listed in chapter 5, verse 22.
Yep.
5 plus 2 plus 2 is 9.
Any other ones?
We got be fruitful appears 9 times. The phrase be fruitful appears 9 times in your King James Bible. And keeping with the trend of God's fingerprint in the universe, you mentioned a man is typically 6 feet tall. Well, a woman is typically pregnant for 9 months to bear fruit.
Mm-hmm. Scratch off another one. Amen. Roman.
I'll wait.
Well, you know that with Abraham and Sarah, Abraham was 99 years old, I believe, and Sarah was 90 when they had... Oh, he's got another one scratched off. When they had Isaac. But also, in Romans 9:9, Paul talks about Isaac. So there you go, 9:9, probably that child of promise. But also, the Holy Ghost. Brother Brian, how do you bear the fruits of the Spirit? You got to have the Holy Ghost in you, right?
You do.
You do. You know, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The Holy Ghost is in the Bible 90 times. 10 times 9, but you got the 90 there. Mm-hmm. So that the fruit of the Spirit, you need the Holy Ghost. There's a...
Well, we're Gentiles, so 10.
Yeah.
Spoiled that. But.
16-11, you add those up, 1-6-1-1. 1 + 6 + 1 + 1 = 4. No, it equals 9.
Yeah, amen.
There you go. And if you want to have the fruits of the Spirit, you got to stay in your King James Bible. You got to read the book. I slapped it maybe a little too hard, but there we go. That's what we got. Number 9, that's fruit bearing, amen. Fruits of the Spirit.
How many letters in Holy Bible?
9.
How many letters in King James?
9.
Yeah, coincidences, my brethren.
How many letters in Holy Ghost?
9.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Anything else, Micaiah, on 9?
Nope. That's about all I had.
All right, number 10. Roman, what do you got on 10?
I told you I only did a few because I figured we'd have to shotgun them.
That's a good idea.
Okay, number 10. So the number 10 represents Gentiles. And if you go to Acts 10, you have Peter going to Cornelius. And the gospel for the first time, I mean, they had an Ethiopian eunuch saved in Acts 8, but the first time the gospel comes to the Gentiles, to Cornelius, and that is in Acts 10. And guess how many times the name, the word Cornelius is mentioned in Acts 10?
10?
10 times. And really the whole Bible. And he was the first Gentile to receive the gospel. So the number 10 definitely has to do with the Gentiles. But I'll say that 10 men traveled with Peter when Peter did that from Joppa to Cornelius' house. Hmm. 10 men traveled with him. I think even in that time, I think God's got things prepared. And he's ready. He wants to make his book so rich and deep, and it is. It represents him and God. You know, what did Paul say in the end of Romans 11? He said, oh, how like unsearchable God is. One of the toughest chapters.
His ways past finding out.
Exactly. Romans 9 through 11, those are kind of tough. But then you get there, and Paul's like, God's God's above us. But God had his hand all over Acts 10 and really over the whole Bible, and there was 10 people going to Cornelius when Peter brought the gospel to the Gentiles there. So that's what I have for the number 10.
Amen.
I mostly just have chapters. We got Genesis chapter 10 is where we find the first mention of Gentile. It's where we have the first Gentile kingdom. Got our boy Nimrod there.
What verse?
Is it 10?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Because I had that note.
I'm glad you did.
We got 1 Kings chapter 10.
Oh.
With the Queen of Sheba, Gentile queen.
That's that good. One. That's good.
Coming to, investigate. There's 10 Gentile kings there with the Antichrist. You got the 10 toes of the statue, all Gentile nations.
Amen.
And he already mentioned Acts chapter 10. So
I got Noah, father of the Gentiles, is 10th from Adam.
Yep.
Genesis 10 gives you the breakdown of all the nations, all the Gentile nations. Mm-hmm. In Luke chapter 10, you have the story of the Good Samaritan. In John 10, Jesus Christ. Now, it depends how hyper you are with the book of John. I think some of us are a little too hyper with a lot of stuff, but John is one of them. Though, if you disagree doctrine, that's fine. But John 10, Jesus Christ mentioned, and I know it'll apply in the millennium, but Jesus Christ mentioned, I have other sheep which are not of this fold, and there should be one fold and one shepherd. That's at least can see the church in that, Gentiles in that. Romans 10 is a great chapter on the gospel going to the whole world. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's kind of not hidden, but it's tucked in to what he mentioned, Romans 9 through 11, which is the nation of Israel. Paul's dealing with the nation of Israel in Romans 9, almost exclusively Romans 11. It's got us being grafted in as Gentiles. But Romans 10 is really kind of it applies the gospel to the Gentiles as a whole. Isaiah 10:10 mentions the kingdom of idols. The kingdom of idols in Isaiah 10:10.
Wow.
Any other 10 thoughts?
How about Gentiles count by tens? Yes. Every 10, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, and then you start out over 11.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, is it 19? So, count by tens. It's how it is.
Yeah, I meant to mention that because God counts by sevens. Mm-hmm. Israel counts by sevens. God's system with Israel is sevens. But Gentiles go 1 through 10, then 11, then you get to the 2s, 20, 21, 10, then you get to the 30s. They reset every 10. The metric system is in a lot of ways, is superior to what we use. I'm not a communist or anything, but I'm just saying. It's how many feet, I to this day cannot remember the 5,280? How many feet are in a mile?
Yeah, 5,280.
But how many kilometers, how many meters are in a kilometer?
I don't know. I'm not a communist.
1,000.
1,000. A kilo is 1,000.
Right.
They have a tenth, a centimeter, and a millimeter is a thousandth
Simple.
Of a meter.
Yeah.
It's by tens and hundreds and thousands. That's how Gentiles count, but Jews
right.
don't do it that way.
True.
All right, we got to move along because we got a couple really good ones. 13 would be rebellion. Roman, give us some 13s quickly.
Some 13s?
Yeah,
well.
What's your best? Give us your best.
We're not going to do 12?
No, we're going to skip 12.
Okay.
12 is Israel.
Israel.
Ta-da.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I have much.
Can we go to him?
Yeah, go ahead. Go
ahead, Micah.
Well, I had some good ones on 12, but 13, rebellion. In case you're unfamiliar with it, Genesis 13:13.
I'm familiar with rebellion.
Oh, aren't we all? Genesis 13:13. For the men of Sodom were
good
wicked
oh.
and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. When we were kids, we were at Vacation Bible School, and I forget what they asked. It must have been something about Sodom. And at the time, Bob was, I don't know, teenager, I think, and Bob just quoted Genesis 13:13. One of the other kids was like, wow, are you some sort of Bible genius? Like, no, it's just Genesis 13:13.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they were rebelling against God, God's natural order for men and women, and they were in rebellion against it.
That's the first time the word sinners occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Well, typically, you see a lot of rebellion sneak in at 13 years old when people become teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis chapter 14... And
yep.
verse 4.
What? Yep.
Oh.
I'm just saying, yep.
Yep.
In verse 4, it says, 12 years served, I lost it. They served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year, they rebelled.
Oh.
I don't know, I want to use all of them in case you
rebellion.
Got...
No, keep going. I got tons of them.
I got a couple when he's done.
Giants, the word giants appears 13 times.
I didn't know that.
Which
never
giants,
heard
if you're, you know, one of, not of the sons of Seth persuasion, giants were a result of fallen angels being in rebellion against God.
Mm.
And in, if you don't know, Absalom, who's a type of the Antichrist, enters the narrative, not his first mention. I think he's first mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 3, but he enters the narrative as far as storytelling in 2 Samuel 13. And he leads the rebellion against David.
Yeah, what happens in 2 Samuel 13 to make yeah. Absalom rebel? You don't have to get specific.
Talking about your boy Amnon?
Yeah, my boy.
Amnon had a friend.
Yeah, Jonadab and his half-sister, yes. and he did something, and that's what made Absalom do that. And that's what, I mean, the rest of the book of 2 Samuel, David is on the run, and Absalom usurps him. He's a great type of Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
and that's in chapter 13.
And it just shows you the depths of depravity man will go when they rebel against God.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rome.
If you look at Genesis chapter 1, and you read the whole chapter, you'll read the first 12 verses all mention God. Every single one of them. But verse 13 is the first verse in the Bible without God in it. And also, the phrase, the Antichrist, has 13 letters in it. That's what I have. The first verse in the Bible without God in it is verse 13 of Genesis 1.
That's good.
Judas Iscariot has 13 letters.
Mm-hmm.
I got a bunch of them to rattle off, so you guys got any other than 13?
Go ahead.
Go for it.
All right, if you look at the chapters in the Bible, chapter 13, like, they're really bad.
Yeah.
Revelation 13, that's where you
what
find...
What is it, Triskaidekaphobia?
Triskaidekaphobia
yep.
is...
Fear the number 13?
Yeah, there's a reason for that. It is not does not have good connotations in the Bible.
No.
Revelation 13, you got the mark of the beast, the image mm-hmm. of the beast. Leviticus 13, anybody know what that deals with?
Go ahead. Leprosy?
Leprosy, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers 13, that's a pivotal moment in the history of Israel, is Numbers 13. Mm. The 12 spies go out, and then they were going to go back and rebel, and God made them wander 40 years because of Numbers 13. Deuteronomy 13 deals with false prophets, talks about stoning
yep.
them. 1 Samuel 13, also a very pivotal moment in the history of Israel with Saul and sinning in that.
Yep.
The Old Testament is in Galatians 3:13. which is 313s. Yeah. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Amen.
The Old Testament is a curse. The Old Testament has how many books?
39.
Mm-hmm. Friday, which is the sixth day of the week. So there's your sixth, man. Friday the 13th. Yeah. Everybody knows that. Like the world makes movies about it. Let's see. There are six, according to all the Jewish rabbis, and I haven't counted, so I believe them. There are 613 laws, statutes, commandments in the law of Moses. 613. Six is the number of man. 13 is cursed. Man is cursed. The word evil occurs 613 times. Matthew 13, another super pivotal moment in the history of Israel.
Yeah. Yep.
To me, Matthew 13 is the most difficult chapter in the Bible. You got the kingdom of heaven parables, and that's when the kingdom of heaven, the literal, earthly, physical, visible kingdoms, go into mystery form because they've rejected Jesus Christ and they accused him of being doing miracles by the devil. And the kingdom enters mystery form and the Jews get temporarily cast aside. But that's in Matthew 13. A couple more and I'll be done. Esther 3, stuff. 12 and 13. Haman, of course, makes a decree, or he gets Ahasuerus, or however you say his name, to go along with it. And I believe it's the first month on the 13th day he issued this decree to have all the Jews killed. Haman, a great type of Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And then a few verses later, he's to execute that. I believe that it's either the 10th month or the 12th month on the 13th day. All the Jews are to be executed. And then do you guys know the other 666s in the Bible? There's only like two or three of them.
Yeah, I was going to say that there's a couple that I had.
There's one in Ezra 2:13. The children of Adonikam, which I looked that word up in Hebrew, means Lord of the Rising.
Wow.
666, but that's found in a 2:13.
Yeah.
Anything else in 13?
Paul wrote 13 epistles.
He did, and I have, we can't get into that, but there's actually a blessing with Paul and the 13 in church, but yeah, can't get into that. Oh, I got a few more. 2 Samuel 18:18, which is 666666. Absalom goes to his own place.
Yes, I
got to
scratch that out.
The Antichrist goes to his own place. Absalom, Abba Shalom, Absalom, father of peace. The Antichrist is, by peace, is going to destroy many.
Mm-hmm.
He's wounded in the head, just like the Antichrist. And yeah.
And you already mentioned earlier John 6 chapter 666. And then they departed.
Mm-hmm.
To whom shall we go?
Amen. I have a nugget that the Lord showed me just the other day.
Ooh.
The word count, because he says, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of the man, and it's 666. That word count, I looked it up, it occurs 26 times, which is 13 plus 13. But I saw in my concordance, counting occurs one time, and one time only in the Bible.
Ooh.
Check this out.
All right.
It is in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, which is the 666th chapter of the Bible.
Really?
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's good. Wow. Right.
So that's it on 13. Any other thoughts before we go? We're just going to do two more numbers, and then we'll have to stop. No?
Nope.
All right. We're going to do, well, I have one just on its own, so I'm just going to do that, and then we'll stop at 1611. I have one. It's another nugget the Lord showed me. Paul wrote 2,033. So 2033 is the number here, my friends. Paul wrote 2,033 verses in the Bible. Brother Roman, what is significant about 2033? Period.
That's about 2,000-year church age right there.
Oh, wow.
If it ends, if that's when the rapture happens, that would be 2,000 years.
2,000 years. Hmm. Hosea 6, two days, and the third day we shall be revived and live in his sight.
Imagine that.
You got any thoughts? Just, and we didn't talk about this. We didn't talk about anything. Top of your head with that 2,000-year church age, and either one of you?
Well, I mean, since we're talking numbers, what's 2 plus 3 plus 3?
8.
I have no idea. Oh, okay.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
Church age is over. Oh, start up.
Amen. Yeah, that's good. 2033, but Christ in John 4, Pastor Chad did a teaching on this, on what the days reveal. You could find it on the app somewhere, I'm sure. But in John chapter 4, the Samaritans are not really Jew, but they're not really Gentile. Mm-hmm. The church, we're neither in Christ, is neither Jew nor Gentile. Amen. It's a type of the church. He spends 2 days there. Lazarus, it's a one-day journey, but you study that thing in John 10 and John 11, and Jesus Christ waits 4 days. Mm-hmm. There's two missing days in that story. That's the 2 days. He abode where John at the first did baptize. There's all kinds of stuff. We don't have time to get into it. But that two-day church age, 2,000 years. See, everybody thought, and Dr. Ruckman for years in the 60s and 70s, and kind of guaranteed it cannot go beyond 2000. It cannot go beyond 1993. 88 reasons the Lord's coming in 1988 because the whole five-year, four-year mistake in the calendar and then a seven-year tribulation. That's how they all came to that. That one day as 1,000 years, that thing is pretty rock solid. Mm-hmm. But what if Adam lived 33 years as a type of Christ and fell at 33? Mm. There's your 6,000 years plus 33 would be 2033 rapture.
Wow.
So that's, but we're kind of getting off a topic.
I like it.
Okay, so we're going to, very last one is going to be 1611.
Amen.
1611.
I like it.
So we'll let you end with that.
Okay.
So, yep, Brother Mikey, what do you got in 1611?
I went light because I knew he was preparing this. So, in Psalms chapter 16. Well, we already covered that 1 plus 6 plus 1 plus 1
right.
is 9.
Right.
You know, so 1611. So that's even a double whammy there. But Psalms chapter 16, the first word is preserve. Mm. And the very last word in the chapter, verse 11, 1611, is evermore.
Amen.
Preserve evermore.
That's great.
Yep.
Wow.
And, well, in case you're wondering, he's going to preserve his word forever. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 11. Maybe this was just a little bit of a stretch on my part, but how is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Talking about bread. Manna from heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
1611.
And then he warned you about the satanic Bibles.
Yep, all the corruption.
With the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. There's your scribes and there's your smart intellectuals. That it?
That was all I brought.
All right, I got one, and then we'll let Roman close on that thought, and then we'll have some closing thoughts. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, has 176 verses.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Psalm 119, I believe every verse but three mentions God's word in some way, whether it's statutes or judgments or word. 16 times 11 is 176.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
So, Brother Roman, you've got a nugget that you got from another brother in the Lord.
Yep.
If you can, 2-3 minutes, maybe explain that.
Okay, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse, what do you think the verse is, Brother Micah?
12?
40.
Nope, not 40, not 12, a little less. It's verse 11.
Yes.
Okay. Deuteronomy 16, 11, I'll read it really quick. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son, and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you, in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. Say, good verse. Yeah, it's a good verse, but there's a lot of cool things in this verse. The seventh word of this verse is Lord. And then you go a little further down, and the 49th word of this verse is also Lord. Hmm. Seven times seven is what?
49.
49. So you have the seventh word, and the seven times seventh word is Lord. You also look at, he says, in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. Did you know the King James Bible is the first English Bible to differentiate between the Lord Adonai and Jehovah throughout the whole book? What that means is like with the capital L-O-R-D and then the capital L and then the lowercase O-R-D. It's the first one. And that means this is the first book, which, when did the Bible, King James Bible come out? 1611, right? This is the first time that the English Bible differentiated in God's name. And guess what? God placed his name in the 1611, Deuteronomy 1611, right here in the King James Bible. That's what God did. This is where he placed his name. It's for you to read it.
Amen. Now, I thought isn't that, I thought he said in that video it was the 1611th occurrence.
That's true. That is true.
Did I ruin that?
No, I forgot to say that. I forgot to say that. That is true. That is the 1611th occurrence of the word Lord, which, man.
In Deuteronomy 1611.
In Deuteronomy 1611. This, how could you not say this is God's book? With all this here, I don't know how you can say
it. And we didn't even cover anything close. I was an NIV, non-denominational, charismatic, been to a bunch of Christian rock concerts for 2 years. I didn't know what a Baptist was. I didn't know there were different Bibles. I was given a King James when I was lost. I came across this issue, and it just, that's how I became a Baptist and Ruckmanite and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things they say is, where's it saying the word of God? Where's it say King James? Where's it say King James? I've been studying this thing for 26, 24 years or whatever. I've got so much stuff, but I can't, we're out of time. But people say, where's the King James in the Bible? He just showed you one where it's in the Bible. And there's a bunch of other stuff, tons of stuff that you take scripture, like stuff like that that's specific, but also just general principles about the which Bible glorifies Jesus Christ. Purified seven times.
Yeah. That's what I was just going to say.
English is the seventh major language that the Word of God was in.
The words of the Lord are pure words.
Mm-hmm. Pure words.
It's also, the King James Bible was the seventh major English Bible.
Yep, seventh major. So, anything else on 1611 before we close?
I have a closing thought, but not on 1611.
Okay.
The word belief shows up in the King James Bible one time.
I know where it is.
Give it a guess. You know where it is?
Yeah.
What's it about?
Isn't it? Well, it's second.
What is God telling you to believe
in? Right?
That's correct. What is God telling you to believe in?
The word.
In the truth. Well, yeah, the word of God.
Yeah, yeah.
God put the word belief once in his book.
Receive not the love of the truth. Or something.
I'll read the verse really quick. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God wants you to believe his words.
Amen.
It effectually worketh in them that believe. So that's what this podcast is about. So you guys could have your faith grow.
Wait, you just quoted that verse. Where's that at?
That's in 1 Thessalians 2:13.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Belief for the truth. And then there's belief. It's important that you believe these words by faith. But like, faith isn't totally blind. Faith has substance. It has evidence. And that's what this is.
Amen.
If there's evidence in the word of God, that this is his words.
Yeah, amen.
Believe it and it'll work in you. You know, God will do effectual work in you. That's my closing thoughts on it.
Amen. Micaiah, what do you got? Closing thoughts.
I was just going to finish out Psalm chapter 12. We were touching on the words of the Lord.
Yeah.
Pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them.
Right.
What are the them? The words.
Amen.
The words. Thou shalt keep them.
Say, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Lord. Yeah. They change it to like.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
man.
Change it to like
keeping
us or something.
Yeah, that wouldn't be us.
No. Thou shalt keep them. The pure words of God. It says, thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're about out of time. I don't have any closing thoughts on that. I just want to mention our next podcast. This will probably be every 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. It'll, as far as I know, always be on Thursday at this time, 7 o'clock, 6 p.m. East Central. And I just want to mention the next podcast. I'm not sure what we're going to call it. But Brother Mike and I will be here. And it's going to be on Nuggets in the Word of God.
Ooh.
This will absolutely, without a doubt, be my favorite podcast. And it's going to be awesome. And of any podcast you watch, make sure you catch that. And it's nothing special about us, but if you get in the Word of God and you study the Word of God and you put the time in, God will show you stuff.
Amen.
So when I say Nugget, what Brother Mike and I are going to do, we may show some that other people have shown us, but Brother Mike and I have listened to thousands of hours of preaching. We love Dr. Ruckman. We read his books. He's the greatest Bible teacher ever, without a doubt. I love Brother James Knox and Gene Kim. Like, I've listened to tons of people and Schofield and Larkin. I've been shown so many great truths. So when I mean great truth, I just don't mean Jesus is God or there's a tribulation coming. I don't mean that. I mean like kind of stuff that maybe a lot of Christians, even a lot of Bible believers, aren't aware of or don't know, like these deep things
that go unnoticed. I mean, that's kind of what a nugget is. It's
just
buried a little.
Find it.
Yeah, you got to uncover it.
Amen.
But what we're going to show you is things that the Lord has shown us from his Bible. And he can do with anyone. I'm sure the Lord's shown you things. But we're going to show you things that we never read in a commentary. Not that nobody on earth knows it, But things we've never read in a commentary, things we've never heard from Dr. Ruckman or from any pulpit. And I've, praise the Lord, I have a lot of things God has shown me, and I've, you know, talked with some people about it, and I've, most people I've talked to haven't seen some of these things, and it's going to sound boasted or whatever. It's not. Glory to God, and God honors His word. But that's our next podcast. We're going to show you some things. I can't guarantee it, but I can, whatever is a tenth of a billionth below guarantee, I can guarantee you next podcast, you're going to hear some things, probably many things that you've never seen, you've never noticed, verses and great truths and just amazing stuff. So anything else?
You sound excited. Is the Bible excited?
Yes, the Bible is excited. Amen. Amen. I love the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
So as Pastor Chad always says, do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, for He is worthy. Praise the Lord. Thanks for watching. God bless.
Amen.
The key to understand the Word of God is for the author to show you what the thing says. If you understand that book, you get for the author. Then he opened their understanding.